Good morning. We bring our acknowledgement of land. We acknowledge that we gather in worship on the traditional country of the Kaurna people of the Adelaide Plains. We pay our respects to their elders, past, present, and emerging. We recognise and respect their cultural heritage, beliefs, and relationship with land. We acknowledge that they are of continuing importance to the Kaurna people today. And our call to worship. Like a dove, the peace of God settles on the face of the earth. Like the morning sun, the love of God springs forth in grace among us. Like the gentle breathing of the wind, the faithfulness of God is always with us. Let us worship our God this day in spirit and in truth. I invite you to stand if you are able, and we will sing the song, God of Creation. Very warm welcome to everybody here at Murrayalta today, and it is going to be a very warm welcome all over South Australia today. I'd like to make a special mention to those who will be watching this service live streaming, and I know that Ruth Dunning is joining us today, so you're very welcome, Ruth. And to those in other communities in the Riverland or on the Eyre Peninsula, you're very welcome. It's lovely to have you with us. Now, as you know, the office is closed now until the end of the month. So if you have anything you need to contact the office for, please contact Bruce, pastorally, or Bob, of course, if there are any pastoral needs immediately. Apart from that, there are no more notices other than try and stay cool on this very warm day.
Thank you, Carol. Good morning. Happy New Year to you all, to those present and online. Let's continue with prayer. Let us pray. O God, though you are God, with all the influence and status that the name implies, you refuse to pull rank and parade your power among us. Instead, you choose to step down into our experience, living among us as one of us, with all the struggle and suffering that goes with being human. More than that, you adopted the role of servant, washing feet, serving people of no reputation or social standing, and giving yourself completely. As incredible as that sounds, you are the God who serves. And we can respond in no other way than to give ourselves to you in praise. So once again, we gather from different homes and circumstances, with different dreams and ideas, different values and tastes, different in age and colour, different in gender and language. Yet we are one family, children of God, everyone. We join our hearts in worship today. We bring our voices in praise, and we join our lives as the body of Christ. The God who shaped us and nurtures us, we, your children, praise you for the breath of life that moves within us, for your life and words among us, for the living water that quenches our thirst, and for the divine image that you create in us and in every person. God, Son, and Holy Spirit, love is your nature, and love is your gift. We praise you for inviting us into your family and for igniting your love in our hearts. Amen, we pray.
A reading from Isaiah chapter 42, verses 5 to 12. Thus says God the Lord, who created heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people upon it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I have taken you by the hand and kept you. I have given you as a covenant to the people, a light to the nation, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the darkness, from the prison, those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to idols. See, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Sing to the Lord a new song, his praise from the end of the earth. Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the coastlands and their inhabitants. Let the desert and its towns lift up their voice, the villages that Kedar inhabits. Let the inhabitants of Selah shout for joy. Let them shout from the tops of the mountains. Let them give glory to the Lord and declare his praise to the coastlands. And now, if you're able, let's stand and sing, all you who walked in darkness.
Rejoice and sing with gladness, come.
Sometimes we have choices to make. When you go on holidays, for example, you have to get your map out and you have to follow the map. And you have to decide, well, am I going to turn left or am I going to turn right? If I turn left, will it be somewhere I know before? If I turn right, will it be somewhere I haven't been before? But of course, we don't use paper maps anymore. We use these things, or a tablet, and Google Maps. And you can click on there and you can find out how far it is to go to Victor Harbour, and how long it's going to take, how many kilometres, and even tells you how many recharging electric vehicle stations there are along the way. A choice: do you turn right at Seaford and go to Normanville, or do you turn left and go up to Wollonga and to Victor Harbour? The choices are enormous. Remember those days when you did take the kids on family holidays? What were some of those words from the back seat of the car? Exactly. Are we there yet? How long? Oh, and what's the other one that you always hear 5 minutes after you've left home? Need to go to the toilet. So in 2023, where are we going? Where are you going? Are you turning left or turning right? We don't know yet what the year will bring. Many of us probably made New Year's resolutions. Many of us didn't. I didn't. Although I did make a couple. Well, not really resolutions. One was to laugh more. See, it's infectious. And so to choose to let go left or right or straight ahead. It's an interesting concept. Beginning of this new year. What will it bring? Sometimes we might end up at a roundabout and there are more than one choices to make, or more than two or three. And if you're with me, when you go down to the Credible Terrace roundabout at Kensington, there's two or three roundabouts, and Bruce has experienced my slingshot routine. Whereas if you get caught in the wrong lane, you just keep going around and go around the other roundabout and then you sling straight through and everybody gives way to you. It's that simple. Don't know what's complicated about it. But again, you need to make choices. Is it left or is it straight ahead? Is it right or is it far right? Or is it a U-turn and go back the other way? Colossians chapter 3, a reading that we'll have in a few moments, talks about how to make decisions, or what we should do, what should be our priorities in decision making. And it says this: therefore, as God's holy and chosen beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion. Great ideas for a new year. Clothe yourselves with compassion and kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you, so that you must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. If we all live by those New Year resolutions, I think our world and our churches and our lives and families would certainly be a happier place. Choices. Which way shall we turn in this new year? I have a prayer that talks about choices. Will you join me in prayer? Lord, in this world of mixed and changing values, we ask for others, for each other, and for ourselves, the wisdom to distinguish between the important and the unimportant, the true and the false, the trivial and the eternal. Sometimes we do not know which way to turn. There are many claims upon our time, so many demands for our attention. Life pulls us in many directions and presents many possibilities, so that every range of choices before us can help to confuse rather than clarify. It is then that we need you, for yours is the ultimate claim on our lives. Help us to listen for it in all other claims, that are made on us. Because we cannot do everything, help us to get our priorities right, to know what you want us to know and what we have to leave. And as we seek to be your disciples, help us to see that what we do and what we allow your Spirit to do with everything that happens to us, with the unforeseen and the unexpected, with delights and trials, with criticism and praise, with good fortune and grief, will shape what we will become. Amen. Let's remain seated as we sing the song, Choose Kindness, when we have a choice to make. There are two paths to take. Which one will you take?
Our gospel reading is from Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 to 17. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up out of the water, suddenly from the heavens were opened to him, and he saw God's Spirit descending on him like a dove, alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." And as Bob has introduced, the epistle for the Colossians chapter 3 verses 12 to 17, some words of wisdom for today, 2,000 years after they were written. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teach and admonish one another in all wisdom. And with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. In this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So today is the Sunday where we recognise, and it's called the Baptism of Jesus Sunday. And today's going to be the focus on that. And after my sermon, I'm going to be inviting anyone who would like to come forward to receive the sign of the cross by water as a remembrance of your baptism and your experience of baptism. But more on that later. So Sarah is a Uniting Church minister. And recently, 10-year-old Cameron walked into her office and said, "I need to talk to you. I'd like to be baptised," he said. "We were learning about Jesus' baptism in Sunday school, and the teacher of the class asked, who's been baptised? And all the other kids put their hand up. I want to be baptised too." So using her best pastoral care tone of voice, she said, "Cameron, do you really want to be baptised because everyone else is?" That's my pastoral care voice. His freckles wrinkled and he replied, "No, I want to be baptised because it means I belong to God." Sarah was touched by this understanding. "Well then," she said, "how about this Sunday?" His smile turned to concern and asked, "Do I have to be baptised in front of all those people in church? Can't I just have a friend baptise me in the river?" She asked, "Well, where did you come up with that idea?" "Well, Jesus was baptised by his cousin John in a river, wasn't he?" Caught off guard, she conceded, "You have a point," she said. "But if a friend baptises you in the river, how would the church recognise it?" Realising this was a teachable moment, she stepped on a stool to reach for the Uniting Church Basis of Union and Regulations that were located on the highest shelf of the bookshelf. But before she placed her hand on the book, he responded, "I guess by my new way of living," he said. She nearly fell off the stool, left the Basis of Union and Regulations on the shelf. Cameron's understanding was neither childish nor simple. It was profound. Baptism calls us to a new way of living. Today, the church recognises and remembers and reflects on the baptism of Jesus, not as an infant, but as an adult. Christmas was only a few weeks ago, and today, two Sundays into the new year, we jump ahead to some 30-something years of Jesus' life, the beginning of his public ministry in Matthew's Gospel. This year, we follow Matthew as the gospel through the year, following the account of the ministry and the life of Jesus. We are told that Jesus sought out John the Baptist, seeking to be baptised. When they met, they argued as to who should be doing the baptising, and after some persuasion, John agrees to do it. As soon as Jesus was baptised, he went up out of the water, and at that moment, it says that the heavens were open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending on him like a dove, and a voice from heaven saying, "This is my Son with whom I love, with whom I am well pleased." So the question is often asked, why did Jesus need to be baptized? The baptism of John the Baptist offered was a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Why then did Jesus want to get involved in that? Or what did Jesus need to repent of? Maybe our question is one that emerges from hindsight after the event. Maybe we ask the question because reading the incident in hindsight through the spectacles of tinted church glasses over the centuries and creeds lead us to our thinking. For the people of Jesus' day, and including the first disciples, our question may well have puzzled them. They might well respond to our question of why with, Well, why not? From Jesus' point of view, to respond to John's call of baptism may have seemed the only good and righteous thing to do. It was something that he wanted to be part of. We don't really know why Jesus came for baptism, but what is certain is that our perfectly reasonable question to ask why is near the bottom of the list or the priority pile as far as the gospel writers are concerned. To them, there are more important issues. In each of the gospels, the main interest regarding the baptism of Jesus is what happened and not why. What happened was God affirmed Jesus, or Jesus was affirmed by God. Baptism is ultimately a sign of belonging, and it's an affirmation of faith, and Cameron's 10-year-old faith. Jesus was affirmed by God, for we hear that voice, "This is my son, this is the one I'm well pleased." This act that Jesus participated in and was done to him was God's yes to Jesus. This was another sign, albeit one of the first, that God was in Christ. And Jesus himself immerses himself into our common life and into our common living through baptism. God tears open the heavens and the Spirit of God broods once again over the chaotic waters of creation. God lets us know that God is in Jesus and doing God's thing. God is on the loose in Jesus, someone said. In Jesus, God can put an end to the old, to the sinful, to the suffering, and make new out of the old. In our baptisms, whether a child or an adult, we affirm our humanity and our faith. We affirm our faith and our children's faith. In baptism, we are incorporated into the body of Christ and made members of the body, a body of people called the church, the community of God. Baptism is that visible sign of an expression of faith. Faith in Jesus, belief in who he is, was, and what he does. Baptism, therefore, is a visible sign or a symbol of our joining, being united with Christ and becoming sisters and brothers, children of God, members of the church, joining Jesus in mission in our world. And since the time of Jesus, the church has been baptizing people in a variety of ways, with a variety of understandings. Some call it a sacrament, other an ordinance, some baptized by immersion, some baptized by sprinkling or pouring, but it's always done with water. Since the time of Jesus, we've baptized infants, others only those who articulate their faith. Some follow baptism with confirmation, while others do not. Indeed, the practice of baptism predates even the baptism of Jesus. For in biblical times, when the Gentiles, that is, the non-Jewish people, were attracted to the Jewish faith and wished to be converted, they underwent a ritual of cleansing, that they could be reborn, so to speak, into their new faith and identity. This ritual was given the Greek name baptizio, which has this dual meaning of dying and rising, or by drowning and coming up. Baptismal liturgies today often make reference not only to the baptism of Jesus, but also to other important uses of water in the biblical story. Waters of creation, waters of the womb in which we are nurtured, the waters of the flood, the waters of the Israelite people crossed going off to Egypt, the waters from the Jordan that mark the entry into the promised land. The image of baptism is rich and varied. We may prefer to focus on a cleansing act, but in all reality, we need the constant supply of water to grow, to nurture, to clean, to heal, to bring life. So why do we baptize? Why do we baptize? Because we're called and commissioned to do so. It was Dietrich Bonhoeffer who wrote that the church exists to serve. It is only when we serve others or do for others, that we are the church. And in serving the church baptizes. That is why Uniting Church welcomes and invites all who profess the Christian faith and all who come seeking baptism. Baptism is not some magical ritual or an insurance policy that when you die, you go to heaven. It's not even about getting the kid done in order to please grandma. The baptism is an expectation of a degree of faith the size of a mustard seed. There's also an expectation of a life within the body into which one is baptized. There is an expectation of the body, the church, to nurture and help and lead the person to be baptized. Baptism is not an end, but rather a beginning. It's a new way of living. It's not about thinking that I've made it and saying I'm baptized, therefore I can go and do what I like. Rather, it's declaring, now I am baptized, what shall I do and how shall I live? Today, on this Sunday, we remember Jesus' baptism. We remember our own baptism. And equally, we remember the baptism we've been part of in this place over the years. So today, though we are not baptizing, I want to invite you who would like to come forward to wish to participate physically, spiritually, emotionally, remembering our baptism, your baptism, your children's baptism, our children's baptisms. And if you haven't been baptized, or a sign that you might be thinking about it, then talk to me later. But come as well. For today I simply offer you to feel the water, remember and receive the sign of the cross as you come forward and then return to your seat as you wish. Feel the cleansing. Feel the coolness, feel the welcome, the embrace of God in the act of this moment. So come simply and humbly, if you wish, and we'll sing and listen to the song together, Spirit, Spirit of Gentleness, as we come forward, if you would like.
Open their eyes. blossom your wings. Spirit, Spirit of gentleness, blow through from the wilderness, calling them free. Spirit, Spirit of restlessness, stir me from pleasantness, wind, wind on the
bring our offering prayer. God of the universe, thank you that your promises are sure. You are faithful. We can rely on you. Your word says that we will find joy in offering our time, talents, and money to meet the needs of others. We give freely and cheerfully towards the work of your kingdom. May the seeds that we sow grow into well-watered, fruitful trees of life. Amen. And our prayers for others. Where is the grace, O God, when a small percentage of the world lives in comfort, while the vast majority live in hunger and need? Where is the grace, O Christ, when a small percentage of the world... Where is the grace, O Christ, when we fail to learn that our violent hearts can never bring peace and can never be justified? Where is the grace, O Spirit, when the world that feeds and shelters us is torn apart by greed and neglect? We need your grace, God, for those we love and share life with. We need your grace, Jesus, for those we know by their fame or position and who are called to account by those who follow and elect them. And we need your grace, Spirit, for those we don't know but are called to love in your name. Fill us and all people, fill our community and our world with your amazing grace, we pray, because we need it so desperately. Because your grace, O Christ, is so generous, not crumbs falling from the table, but a sumptuous feast, we pray for the accused and guilty ones, the refugees and asylum seekers, those unjustly detained and those imprisoned by their own guilt and regret. Because your love, O God, is so indiscriminate, crossing all boundaries and inviting all, we pray for the lost and lonely ones, those who find themselves without companions in the world, those who are separated from loved ones by distance or death, for those who have forgotten love because of their struggle to survive. Because your kingdom, Lord, is so different, challenging the ways of human beings, we pray for the powerful and influential ones, those who lead countries or communities, those who decide and enforce the law, those who hold responsibility for great resources. Because your presence, O Spirit, is so constant, never abandoning or neglecting us, we pray for those things that are closest to our heart. We pray because we believe that no one is beyond your grace, no one outside of your love. And because we believe that the prayers we offer enable us to receive and to share the blessings you so generously give us. Amen. And I invite you to stand if you are able, and we will sing all together now the summons, "Will you come and follow me if I but call your name?"
Let my name be known. Will you let my light?
those who are on camera or AV or singing music who would like to receive the sign of the cross after the service, please, I'll be here, and you are welcome if you didn't participate. So go into your week this time with ears pitched to the sound of God's voice calling your name. Go into your week with your eyes peeled for the face of Jesus in unexpected places. Go into your week with your soul poised to receive the Spirit of God, the Spirit of peace. May the God who gave us this year, and the Son who walked at our side each day, and the Spirit who filled us with abundant life, grace the coming year with peace, hope, and joy. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve our Lord. Thanks be to God.